Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome to Undisputed, live from Los Angeles. I'm Jason McIntyre here with my man Greg Jennings and Rob Parker. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing great. You know, the best part of filling in for Skip and Shannon while they were on vacation is that I could park in Skip Bayless's parking spot. You know what I mean?
And I got to tell you.
Right by the door, right there.
Get that ticket.
All right, coming up on today's show, did Antonio Brown, we kind of went after him a little bit yesterday.
Kind of you went after him.
I should say we.
Yeah.
How did he handle his helmet mess? Did he handle it properly? And, of course, an all-time great Laker thinks LeBron has nothing to prove. I think Rob Parker disagrees with that a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But we got to start the show with Dak Prescott. The Dak drama continues for Dallas. After it was reported that the quarterback turned down $30 million a year, Jane Slater of the NFL Network came out saying that Dak wants to be the highest paid play caller in the league and get a contract worth $40 million a year. But it doesn't stop there. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio said that report is, quote, all caps false, and Dak doesn't want $40 million a year. All this comes after Stephen Jones said last week that he would be willing to let Dak play out the final year of his contract. Rob, there's a lot there. Should the Cowboys let Dak play out his contract?
If I'm the Cowboys, that's where I would go, Greg, from this standpoint. And I get it. If you roll the dice and he has a big year, it's going to cost you money, big money down the road. But all the numbers, everything else that goes in when you talk about Dak, they're middle of the road. And he hasn't shown you that he should be paid top dollar yet as a quarterback. Football Focus, yesterday we talked about what they ranked him 26th. 55 executives around the NFL in ranking quarterbacks and different players had him as a third-tier quarterback. We've seen moments. I'm not saying he can't play at all, but we know most of the time in his situation, he needs the running game to be working for him. He needs the defense. He needs just everything to be right where it seems for Dak to really excel as a quarterback. We've seen him miss throws. We've seen him be shut down a little bit once the running game's not there. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Cowboys, I just want more. Let me see. Let me have him have this bust-out year this year, win another division, get them closer, get them to the NFC Championship game, maybe get them to the Super Bowl. I'll open up the coffers after that. I have no problem paying once somebody produces. But to me, there are too many question marks about Dak Prescott. I'm not convinced he is that franchise quarterback. He may have the potential, but he hasn't had the production to pay him that kind of money.
I disagree with you. Not totally. I understand where you're coming from. But no, I would pay Dak Prescott right now. And for all the reasons that you're mentioning, because he hasn't shown the Dallas Cowboys that he is a top five plus quarterback, an elite quarterback, if you will. But he has proven that he can get the job done. He has been viable. He has been consistent. He's been available, as I've mentioned. And he's a great leader. And when you add all those things up, you then start to look at, okay, what are the numbers? If I franchise tag him, if I let him play out the contract, and then I franchise tag him, what is that going to cost me? But then, not just what is it going to cost me the next 2 years, but then if he does have that big if that you're mentioning of having a great year this year, then that costs me more money. So why don't I get him now when I understand that the market value of the quarterback is going to continue to rise? You got Patrick Mahomes who's going to come up. You got a Jared Goff who's coming up on the contract. These guys are going to get paid, and they're going to get paid top dollar. So you have to equate that in your chess play and moves that you're going to make, trying to make sure that this personnel that you currently have on your roster that you've assembled stays together. The best way to do that is to pay Dak Prescott the $30, $31 million, somewhere around there. You don't like it, but that's what the quarterback market value is right now, and deal with the rest later.
It's interesting, Greg. I have to side with Mr. Parker here. You remember the show Game of Thrones, right? Winter is coming. Big deal. Regression is coming for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
Regression.
Greg, a stat that we didn't talk about yesterday. I don't know how I missed this. Do you know Dak was sacked 56 times last year? Behind that awesome offensive line, I know the center was
holds
gone.
The ball too long.
He holds the ball too long. One of the slower releases in the NFL, according to some advanced stats. And I just look at if he's got a slow release, he's taken 56 sacks because Dak doesn't want to make mistakes. Like his rookie year, he was lights out, right? I think 4 interceptions, didn't turn the football over. Guess who his top 2 targeted guys were last year? Cole Beasley and Ezekiel Elliott. Cole Beasley's in Buffalo. Ezekiel Elliott's in Cabo right now. So you combine a quarterback who's very skittish in the pocket, took 56 sacks, take away his top 2 targeted guys. What are we looking at here? Everything for me comes up regression. And you say $30 to $31 million? Why wouldn't you just wait, as Rob said, let him play it out, worst case scenario, your franchise, and if they go 7-9, he's not getting anything. Paying him.
Here's another scenario, and I remember in Washington with Kirk Cousins. They drafted him the same year, right? Remember, yeah. with RG3. He played, he put up numbers, they made the playoffs. They were never sold on him, right? They were never, despite watching every snap he ever took as a pro, they franchise tagged him twice. He was making a lot of money, and they let him walk. They let him go to Minnesota. Didn't work out. I think Minnesota thought they had gotten this guy that was going to put him over the top. They finally got the quarterback to go with this great defense. It didn't happen. But my point is, sometimes you have to look at it, and they were never convinced. If they really believed that Kirk Cousins was that guy, they would have given him the contract. He was their draft choice. He was the guy that they watched. And Dak Prescott, I look at it the same way. If you had a quarterback who won the division twice in 3 years, right, won you a playoff game, a franchise that's probably won 2 or 3 playoff games in the last 25 years, all the stuff you talk about, leadership and he's available and all that stuff, would push you to sign him to a long-term deal saying, we got our franchise quarterback. This is what we've been waiting for.
Craig probably doesn't mind.
They won't do it.
Giving up somebody else's money.
They won't do it.
You guys go pay Dak. Give him the 30.
But all of what you're saying is great, but they have reports are out there that they've offered him top 5 quarterback money already.
No, so, it's top 6, and it's not what you call it. When you talk about the contracts that they pay franchise quarterbacks, he's not topping the last guy. That's why.
No, he's not topping the last.
Why not?
No.
He's supposed to be. You just told me. He's a great leader. He's about the Cowboy.
No,
why?
Rob, we're not talking about him getting the $40 million mark that has been rumored out there. No, all of us understand he's not going to get that number. But to sit here and for me to believe that he's not going to get the $30 million, no, that he's going to get that. He is going to get that number because Jerry Jones has already let it be known that this is our guy. This is our guy, regardless of how you feel or you. It doesn't take 55 execs. I don't see 55 owners in the National Football League. So you keep throwing out these 55 executives. They don't own, all these executives don't own the team. So I'm not concerned about those guys.
Right,
Dak Prescott isn't concerned about those guys. He's concerned about one guy. Possibly 2. Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones, period. And they're sold on him. It's just a matter of coming to an agreement and to terms on what that number looks like. And you talk about he's lost Cole Beasley. Well, he added Randall Cobb. Would you take Cole Beasley over Randall Cobb?
I need to see Randall Cobb prove it.
Stop it.
He struggled at the end
of
Green Bay. You know that.
Stop it. Hey, and do we really believe that Ezekiel Elliott is just not going to be present?
Well, that's the one thing I want to add. So, Rob, he keeps talking about the idea that Dak could light the world on fire, then you got to pay him $35 million. I'm just going to point out a couple things about the Dallas Cowboys. Let's start with their head coach, Jason Garrett. He's what we call a lame duck coach, right? Going into the final year of his contract.
Next year.
He's thinking about Jason Garrett. Ezekiel Elliott holding out on a beach in Cabo. He's the number one running back. Amari Cooper, you know when the last time he practiced was? August 2nd, dealing with a heel injury. Also waiting for Julio Jones to sign his big money deal.
Stop.
We're looking at a Dallas Cowboys team. Everybody is thinking about themselves. Look at the defense. DeMarcus Lawrence. They just paid him. He's coming off shoulder surgery. Byron Jones, best defensive back, he's coming off surgery. Robert Quinn, the edge rusher they just signed, suspended for 2 games. I don't see where you're seeing a Dallas Cowboys team that Dak is going to excel and they're winning 10, 11, 12 games.
Did he just...
This team is going to struggle.
Do you notice all the players he just listed? Those are pretty good playmakers right there, don't you believe?
Certainly.
Okay, so what are you talking about? Once they're on the field, all of this notion of I'm in it for myself, that's out the window.
Oh, is it?
Because they all want to win.
If they get the deal.
The number one reason you get paid equates to winning. You win, you get paid. Dak Prescott knows that. Jason Garrett understands that. All of these guys understand that. You can have great individual statistics, but you will bounce from team to team and no one will you won't stick if you can't prove that you can win. We see it with Antonio Brown. He got released from the Steelers because they're like, you know what? We haven't won with them, so let's just let them go. Okay, somebody else will then pick you up. But right now, with the names that you mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys look like a pretty darn good team.
I might need to do the wings bet with you that he keeps talking about. I know Skip and Shannon bet Mountain Dew, right?
Right. No,
I'll bet some Dr. Pepper or something. No.
And you're Amari Cooper stretch.
Hey, he's waiting.
That's such a reach.
He's sitting out.
Even Rob had to look at
he
you.
He don't
want to
play.
That's such
a reach. So why is Amari Cooper sitting out? He's just not even practicing at all. Hasn't practiced since August 2nd.
So there's something in football or in sport called injury.
Oh, yeah.
Where
I'm sure it's serious.
At this point in the season, the premature season that obviously means so much that Amari Cooper should be out there if you were the head coach, he's not playing or practicing because he's getting healthy.
Yeah.
Because there is something called the regular season that actually matters.
Greg, my question to you is this. Okay, say they don't get a deal done and they decide to play it out and Dak struggles or is mediocre this year. Are you that sold that you would still say, okay, I'm still going to sign him? Or would that change your mind depending on what type of year he's having?
If there is no deal set in place before, let's say, week 2 or 3, and you see that he's struggling, now the leverage is back into the hands of the organization.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying to you, have you been convinced enough that even with a year to struggle, mm-hmm. people have off years. Have you seen enough that you still would say, despite the struggle, I'm going to sign him because he's my franchise quarterback. He's going to lead me to a Super Bowl.
I have seen enough.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
I have seen
enough.
Personally,
what would that be,
I've enough? Seen enough. When I weigh my pros and my cons, everyone wants to talk about, and I'm a receiver, his accuracy. Well, when I look at the accuracy of a quarterback, you have to have guys that are allowing you to get open.
He still
and
misses
creating
throws.
He still misses throws.
Okay.
And he does hold on to the ball a little too long. But I think that's his discomfort with what he sees and what he has seen over his first couple, 2-3 years as route running. Now once he added Amari Cooper, we saw a completely different, confident Dak Prescott releasing the ball, getting rid of the ball, throwing the ball downfield. We hadn't seen that in Dak Prescott early in his career. Why? Because he didn't have the weapons. He didn't have the confidence in those guys that they were going to get open, that they were going to make the plays. So what does that require him to do? As a quarterback, you hold the ball too long. I played with a guy, Aaron Rodgers, that held the ball too long early in his career. That's just what you do when you haven't been out there. Let's not forget, this is year 4 for Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
We're making it seem like he's been this savvy veteran because he came in with that type of mentality, with that type of poise. So all of a sudden, we have this bar set that, you know what? He has to be Patrick Mahomes-esque. He has to be Aaron Rodgers. He has to be Tom Brady. No, he doesn't.
He has to be Dak Prescott.
He has to be Dak Prescott. But, and what they've seen is enough that will afford him to get that contract.
But the numbers say he has regressed since his first year. According to the Football Outsiders, he was the 3rd-rated quarterback in his rookie year. Remember, didn't make the mistakes. Then he fell back to 17th in his second year. Last year, Greg, I can't stress this enough. All the numbers, the matters down in distance and who the opponent was. He was the 26th rated quarterback in the NFL after Andy Dalton, Mitchell Trubisky.
Those are
he
facts.
He was not very good.
And
Greg, I got to ask, is that defense is catching up to Dak Prescott in year 3 when there was no tape on him coming out and he kind of shocked everybody? Or is it, hey, they got a new offensive coordinator coming in and Kellen Moore, who was his former backup? There's just so many factors. I think it would be crazy for the Dallas Cowboys to cough up $30 to $35 million for a guy like Dak Prescott at this stage in his career.
So with all of that you're saying about him regressing, all quarterbacks regress. But early in their career, they have these lulls, these peaks and valleys. This is a fourth-round draft pick, a guy that we never suspected. Dallas, the Cowboys never suspected that he would be who he is right now at this point, taking the position away from a Tony Romo, who had been proven, who had kind of a roller coaster career anyway.
True.
We're looking at a Tom Brady right now who everyone is saying, oh, he's declining. We're looking at a Drew Brees who people are saying,
Hall of Famers.
I understand who I'm talking about. But numbers from year to year vary. And so, but the number one thing that has to be consistent is who you are as a leader, your availability, and do I see the potential of progression? And that's what the Dallas Cowboys see in Dak Prescott. They see the trajectory going up. They don't see the arrow going sideways or down. They see it going up. Why? Because they formulated a personnel around him that is going to support what he provides and make him better. And then hope that he makes those guys around him better and it equates to win.
There's certain guys that always get that leadership thing, and most of the time because they don't have stats to support them. You know what I mean?
Leadership, availability.
Exactly, because we can't see the things that you're talking about. But my point is, even in leadership, you got to have talent. You could be the greatest rah-rah leader, but if you can't make those throws and you can't perform, doesn't your leadership get negated?
So now we're saying...
I'm not saying he's not a leader. I'm not, but I'm just saying talent also plays in on leadership, doesn't it?
What you do on the field definitely translates to how guys in that locker room view you as a leader and how much respect you earn. However, when you are the quarterback, it is just a given responsibility. It matters what you do and how you perform. But if you come into the huddle, you guys have to understand this. When a quarterback comes into the huddle, I don't care if he's a seventh-round draft pick or a first-round draft pick. When I see him come into that huddle and he demands the respect of the guys in there because of the way he calls the play and he talks to the guys around him, that lets me know I have something to work with. That there's a belief, not only in him, but that he's protruding and that he's conveying to the guys around him that I got this. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care what we've seen or what I just did the play before. I got you now.
Let me ask you, Rob. We keep talking about Dak winning a playoff game last year, okay? You think back to that Seattle game. The Seahawks lost that game. Dallas didn't win it. We think back to that. Brian Schottenheimer, one of the all-time awful offensive games called in maybe NFL playoff history in the last 10 years. It was so bad. Seattle lost that game.
They didn't let Russell Wilson throw the football
at all. It was unbelievable. Dak got lucky in that one. So let me move on to the Rams game. Was that even a close game? I can't believe I had bet on the Cowboys in that like a moron. They got smoked. They could not stop the run. Dak Prescott was ordinary. After that early touchdown pass to Cooper, he was ordinary. I didn't see a leader at all in the playoffs.
They shut down the run with Ezekiel Elliott,
Dak couldn't win
the game. There was no way they were going to win that game.
What did they do to improve that offense in the offseason, Rob? They added a 35-year-old tight end in Jason Witten, who last year at this time was preparing to call football games in a booth. I just don't see the Dak Prescott leap that he's talking about. What am I missing?
What you're missing is experience. The greatest teacher in life is experience. That was his second run at the playoffs. Last year, when the regular season was over, the requirement for Dak Prescott was, can he win a playoff game? You said you bet on him.
I did.
And you failed in the second round of the playoffs.
He
absolutely got the first win that we all were saying he needed to get. There is a progression in sport. There is a progression at the quarterback position, and there is a progression in life. He's taking those proper progressions. I'm not saying Dak Prescott is going to be the top quarterback in all of National Football League this year, but he is going to be worth what the Dallas Cowboys are willing to pay him. Why? Because he's earned that value to that organization.
And all I'm saying is, if I'm the Cowboys, I take a wait-and-see approach.
I do, too.
I just want to wait a little longer, and I'm willing to pay the extra money for him to prove me wrong.
As long as you're willing,
to pay the extra money at that point, but I want him to prove me to erase the doubts, to not be the 26th-ranked quarterback, to win me a football game when we don't have a running game, or win me a football game when our defense lets us down. I want to see him do those things, and then I say to myself, okay, I'm convinced. I'm just saying that there's still clouds, questions when it comes to Dak Prescott.
One real quick thing. I'm getting texts from friends here. I don't want to poo-poo the intangibles that he's talking about. Leadership does matter. The fact that Dak off the field kind of acts the role of a quarterback, right? He's not shotgunning beers at baseball games, okay? I like what I've seen from Dak as a leader off the field. He's not getting in trouble. Ezekiel Elliott's kind of been on that fine line. So I do want to say I like a lot of stuff about Dak, but, Greg, when the numbers come down, Rob and I, we've seen them. They're not there for Dak Prescott.
I don't care what you've seen.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I mean,
You guys make it seem like you're the decision makers.
I'm glad Dak Prescott doesn't have to prove anything to you guys, and he's proven everything that he needs to prove to the Dallas Cowboys. Let me remind you, this is a fourth-round draft pick, and you talk about him needing to prove more. What did he prove in year one?
Year one was years ago. Are you kidding me?
You're right.
What have you done for me lately?
You're right. But what did he prove being a fourth-round draft pick to starting for the Dallas Cowboys and taking the job away from a Tony Romo? Was that something he was able to prove? That he was able to
he got there.
Sustain that position? Okay, now you get rid of Tony Romo. Year two, you don't have an Ezekiel Elliott. Everybody before Dak Prescott even had the success, we understand the trajectory of quarterbacks. They have a great year or not. They have a great year, and then year two, everything kind of catches up to them a little bit because the film has been out. So now they have to really show us who they really are. Well, he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott for partial games in that season, and he faltered some. But then this past year, he does have Ezekiel Elliott. Then they acquire Amari Cooper. He continues to progress and now shows us everything that everybody was talking about was, you know what, now that they got Amari Cooper, we're going to really see what Dak Prescott is. I doubted it, and then he proved me wrong.
And he still was the 26th-ranked quarterback, even with the pieces you're talking about. That's what should be shocking and alarming to you, Greg, is that he didn't jump up to be a top 10 quarterback, and then you say he just didn't have the receiver you're looking for. The numbers. Numbers never lie. And in Dak
numbers
Prescott,
do lie.
Not in Dak Prescott.
Numbers definitely lie. Especially in the fourth quarter when you're down 30 and you're padding stats. Numbers lie.
Rob, he's pointing his pen 20 minutes into the show. I'm a little nervous here. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here to tell you a bit more about 23andMe. Sure, DNA testing can tell you about where your ancestors are from, but did you know it could also give you a lot of genetic information about your health and traits? Understand more about yourself today and inform how you live your life going forward. 23andMe tracks many conditions such as harmful blood clots. Some F2, F5 genes help you stop bleeding if you get hurt, while other versions of these genes can also increase the risk for harmful blood clots. 23andMe also tracks hereditary breast and ovarian cancer. There are thousands of BRCA variations that can increase the risk for certain cancers. Both men and women can be affected. 23andMe reports do not diagnose disease or describe overall likelihood of developing any disease. 23andMe tests selected genetic variants only. Visit 23andMe.com/undisputed for important test information. Order your health and ancestry kit at 23andMe.com/undisputed, and you can meet your genes in 125 personalized genetic reports. That's the number 23andMe.com/undisputed. 23andMe.com/undisputed. No mercy.
2 days ago, My guy LeBron posted this picture on Instagram of himself, Shaq, Kobe, Kareem, and Magic with the caption, "Sheesh, so honored and so grateful to be a part of greatness. P.S. Man, oh man, that starting five versus any franchise all time. Let's go get it." Kareem weighed in yesterday, Cap, telling the LA Times, "LeBron doesn't have to worry about being an all-time great." He said, "LeBron has already shown he's still the complete player that the Lakers wanted, so I don't think he needs to worry about that. If he plays well and the team is contending and in the playoffs and advancing late in the playoffs, that should be enough. He doesn't have anything to prove to anyone, but Lakers fans are still hungry, and that's a good sign. They want to win, and they want to support the team." Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Rob, I got to ask you, do you agree with the greatest center in NBA history?
No way, no how. Greg, the only thing more outdated than Kareem's hook shot is that take by Kareem. What is he talking about? LeBron, no one's saying if LeBron's going to has to win a championship to be considered an all-time great. He's an all-time great. But we're talking about an all-time Laker great. Everybody in that picture, Greg, have won a championship wearing the Lakers uniform, except LeBron James. Don't tell me he came here for 4 years with the idea that he doesn't have to win and Laker fans are just cool that LeBron's going to have his semi-retirement here and make movies and do Hollywood, and that's all that matters. And Laker fans who haven't made the playoffs in 6 years, including last year with LeBron James, is happy just to have him here. That's hogwash. There's no way Laker fans believe in that. They expected when they got LeBron James that they were going to compete and win a championship with one of the greatest players who've ever played this game. So for Kareem to just give him a pass and say LeBron James is cool and it doesn't matter and he doesn't have to win in L.A. is such a defeatist attitude. I'm shocked as a guy who won 6 titles, 5 with the Lakers and 1 in Milwaukee, that he would just poo-poo the idea that LeBron doesn't have to win. So I'm not buying it. I want no part of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's idea that LeBron James gets a pass in Los Angeles. Obviously, Kareem doesn't pay for tickets because it's just cool to just have him around. People pay money, and they want to see the Lakers win a championship.
We got a hater in the house, Greg.
I'm not a hater.
LeBron James has nothing to prove. Does he want to win wearing that purple and gold uniform? Absolutely.
He does have something to prove.
But for you to sit here and say that he has something to prove after all that he's done is foolishness. And for a guy like Kareem to look at that photo and for him to say LeBron James has nothing to prove, I'm going to side with him. Why? Yeah. Because he understands what it takes to put on that uniform. He wore it for quite some time. And when I looked at that photo, there was only one guy in that photo that won it the first time he put that uniform on for the first season. And that was Magic Johnson, his rookie year. He did that. Everyone else, it took time for them to actually win a championship.
LeBron James Magic's rookie year, is that what you compare?
All I'm saying is there was one guy in that photo that won it the first time he put on that Laker uniform, and that was Magic Johnson. Now that LeBron James has a sidekick, if you will, in Anthony Davis, of course.
Anthony Davis sidekick.
Of course, the option and the ability for him to win the championship is going to heighten even more. The expectations have always been through the roof. Why? Because we're talking about a 3-time NBA champion. We're talking about a 3-time NBA Finals MVP. Like, we're talking about arguably one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I believe it's Michael Jordan, but LeBron James is right there. So everything that you're saying, yes, you're going to say he has something to prove because you want to see him win because he's been so great for so long. His last year, his stat line, 27, 8,
Greg,
and 8.
They didn't make the playoffs.
He missed a million games, Rob, please.
He didn't play in 27 games. He was injured for 18 of them. Like, Rob, let's be realistic. Had LeBron James continued to play, we wouldn't even be having this conversation because they would have made the playoffs.
Greg, did you watch the end of the season?
I did watch the end of the season.
Did you watch when they lost to the Grizzlies and to the Suns and to the Hawks? Those were all games they had a chance to win and make the playoffs.
They did.
Did LeBron play?
He did.
He did, right?
He did. They had dug themselves in such a hole. And when you're playing on teams and you're finding ways to lose games, it is hard to right the ship in just a matter of 20-some-odd games after the All-Star game, All-Star break. So don't give me that LeBron James was available and he should have won those games.
They should have made the playoffs with LeBron James. And here's the other thing. You talk about the three championships. In reality, LeBron, I keep telling you, is the fofoat.
Oh, God.
The finals failure of all time. He's lost more championships than any other former MVP in the NBA. And can we see that picture again? Can we see that picture of everybody, all the great Lakers? According to Kareem, you might as well add Shmush Parker to the picture.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right, Rob, I'm glad you called that picture up. I want you to look at it closely, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Kobe got to the Lakers when he was 18. Magic when he was 20. Shaq, 24. Jabbar, 28. LeBron got there at 33. Not in his prime, at the tail end of it. All those guys... It was easier to win a title when you get there early in your career, in your prime. You can't bag on LeBron for this, okay? Jabbar is 1,000%.
No, he's not, because he's not talking about Jason his first year. He's saying he doesn't have to win. That's not true.
He doesn't have to.
Yes,
obviously,
he does.
Well, there's a difference between...
No, that's what he's saying.
You want to win and you have to.
No,
LeBron, what happens?
LeBron comes here for 4 years and they don't win... It's a failure.
But, okay, so his time in L.A.
It's a total failure.
Okay, but what does that
mean?
That's
what it is.
What does it mean?
His
time in L.A. was a failure. He's still the second greatest player
in NBA
history.
No one's saying he's not a great player, but the notion that LeBron doesn't have to win, why wouldn't he want to win in a Laker uniform?
This is going to be...
And Hyten, all right, also on the table, if LeBron were to win, he would be the first player to win with three different organizations, which would elevate you.
Yeah.
So don't tell me he has nothing to play for.
Okay, so Rob, what happens? They win one title in 4 years. Then, you know what it is? He only won one title.
No, it's not.
Kobe won multiple.
I just told you what it is.
So all you want is one title.
He would be the first player to ever do that. Kawhi Leonard now has a chance to do it if he wins with the Clippers. He would be the first player. That's huge. Are you kidding me?
But the Lakers aren't the favorites to win. They don't have the best team. Nobody would say they're the favorites right now to win the championship. They have the best team. None of the numbers bear that out.
That's not what Kareem talked
about. Hey, by the way,
the
rest of their roster, Rob, is not very good. Listen, you want to blame Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka, that's fine. LeBron does not have the best team in the league. They're going to be very good. They should be advancing deep into the playoffs. But you can't call it a failure if they don't win a title. That's just not fair.
This is what Rob is going to do. I've noticed he doesn't like greatness.
Tom Brady.
Who's that?
Stephen Curry.
Tom Brady.
LeBron.
LeBron James. He doesn't appreciate greatness.
Not true at all. I think Michael Jordan is the greatest player I ever saw. And I covered Michael Jordan.
You're more old school. You appreciate the greatness once it's gone.
No, it's not.
When Michael Jordan was playing, I'm sure you gave him all kinds of credit and accolades.
I was covering the NBA during that time, and Michael went through the same scrutiny that LeBron has gone through. And people always act like Michael had a red carpet ride through the NBA. People criticize him early in his career. He's just a dunker. He doesn't make anybody
Those
any
are
better.
Facts.
And he can't win. That's what they talked about, Michael Jordan. And then he broke through and became... I was there. I watched the guy's career. So all I'm saying is, I appreciate greatness, but I think today everybody thinks everything that happens today is better than anything that's ever happened. LeBron James is a great player, but he was in Cleveland for 11 years and won one championship.
Is that his fault?
My point is, before you go around and saying this guy's the greatest of all time, and everybody doesn't want to count his losses, he's lost six championships to be such a great player.
He's lost.
How many has Michael Jordan lost? I mean, he lost a ton before the finals. He got knocked out in the first round more times than LeBron has.
He's lost six championships, but his ability to get to the finals has been as impressive as most guys' ability to even win a final.
So you're a Buffalo Bills fan. You like Marv Levy and the Bills.
No, because...
They went to four straight Super Bowls.
They didn't win any.
Why?
Marv
Levy must be the greatest coach who ever coached
any.
In the NFL.
They didn't win any. LeBron James has won. That's what you fail to acknowledge, the fact that he did win. You just want to focus on what he didn't win, which is unfair. Now he's in L.A. Does he want to win? Yes. Does he have something to prove? No, because he's already won. The only thing he has to prove is that he's the best player in the NBA.
If he were to win, could that elevate him as far as being the first player who ever won with three different organizations?
Yes.
So don't tell me you have nothing to play for. He does.
Are you saying that if LeBron wins one more title, he elevates above Michael Jordan?
You would be able to make a better case for him as being
by the way,
the all-time greatest player. Yes or no, Greg? Could you make a
better case? You can make a better case.
A better case.
Wait. He's missing this. Rob, we're talking about LeBron late in his career here with the Lakers. Do we need to revisit Michael Jordan late in his career with the Washington Wizards? Do we need to look at that? Because he missed the playoffs twice.
We're also talking about Tom Brady, 42. He just won a Super Bowl at 41. They have better trainers, equipment, medicine. Everything is better so that those guys have a chance to be able to compete later in their career. They didn't have that 20 years ago.
So the scrutiny is even heightened nowadays.
I agree that with social media.
Because of social media.
No doubt about it.
So for you to say Jordan was just as highly scrutinized as LeBron James.
He was scrutinized as
he was.
He was.
But it was nowhere near what we see today because of social media.
Were there 24/7 cable news networks?
No, there wasn't.
Were there shows like
this? We used to have to call sports phone to get to school.
There you go. I mean, it's not even close. LeBron is dealing with much more. By the way, let's just quickly revisit this. LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I believe, at 16 years old. He has been scot-free off the court. No issues, no arrests, no problems. LeBron has been a model citizen with the glaring spotlight that Greg just talked about. That deserves praise as well.
Okay. Well, you want a parade?
I want two parades
for
LeBron.
I don't know what, I mean.
One in L.A., one in Cleveland. Let's give him one in Miami, too.
I mean, to do the right thing, I think most people do the right thing. And it's good. I'm not knocking him. But I'm not going to give him a parade for doing the right thing. He lives a good life. He's done a lot of good things in the community. I admire all that stuff. I'm just talking about the basketball part. And for Kareem to just give him a pass, I don't feel good about that. Not a champion like Kareem, the all-time leading scorer, and to just be like, well, whatever. Fans are just going to come drink their overpriced beer and bad hot dogs, and LeBron can just make a gazillion dollars and do his Hollywood stuff. Okay. That's where we are?
No.
Okay.
You
guys both lost in this
one. Oh, please. All right. No mercy. The Golden State Warriors, they're going to have an uphill battle this season to return to the finals. Klay Thompson suffered a torn ACL in last year's finals, while Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins, they found new teams. Steph Curry responded to doubts about the Warriors being serious title contenders by saying, quote, "I just laugh it off." Rob Parker, got to ask you, are the Warriors, my Warriors, still legit title contenders?
I don't think they are, not at all. I really don't. And I think people, I get it. They had that unbelievable run. They went to five straight NBA championships. First time that happened since the Celtics in the 50s and 60s when they went. So I get it. Everybody thinks, oh, they're still going to win. They still have Draymond. Klay's going to eventually get back. They got D'Angelo Russell, and of course they have Steph. So yes, no, the landscape has changed. They don't have Kevin Durant anymore. That is the piece that's missing. And when you look at their run, this is questionable at best. Remember, it is. When they beat the Cavs, Greg, you remember that? Beat the Cavs in the championship. No Kyrie, no Love. That was the one that they won when Steph was leading the way. Then, Steph Curry is the author of the biggest choke in NBA history. Up 3-1, they choked. They choked to the Cavs. Steph wrote that book. No team in the history of the NBA had ever choked down a 3-1 lead. Ever.
In the finals.
In the finals. This was a 73-win team. Greg, you remember that? All those wins?
I do.
They lost the last three games in that series, including two at Oracle.
To who did they lose to? I forgot.
Right? That was to the Cavs.
Who was the leader of that Cavs team?
Kyrie Irving. And LeBron was on that team,
too. Okay, all right.
Then this past year, for all the injuries, oh, it's so unfair. How could Toronto? It's not fair. They had injuries. Wait a minute. Their first championship, they won because Cavaliers had injuries, right? Injuries are a part of the game, Greg. Got to play with who's out there. Game six, Mr. Everything, Steph Curry, has an open look to win the game with 10 seconds to go. He makes all the shots, half court, trick shots. Sometimes I think he's playing for the Harlem Globetrotters. He's so good. But when it comes down to making the big shot in the big moment, you know what? He doesn't make it. 0 for 8 when he missed that three-pointer that would have won that game. Game 6 forced a game 7. Mm-hmm. Even with Klay hurt, even with no Durant, they were that close to winning and moving on, moving to the game 7. So when you look at Steph, now he's officially 0 for 8 in the final 20 seconds in games where they're tied or behind, where he has a chance to put him
on. Okay, so he gave us a history lesson on the Warriors.
Yes.
Do you want to answer the question, before I put him in his place?
So all I'm telling you is, when you look at all of that, the Steph Curry-led Warriors, right? Steph Curry-led Warriors aren't as impressive as you think. They're impressive when Kevin Durant got there and they won those two championships. This team, without Kevin Durant, with an injured Klay Thompson coming back, dude, they're not contenders.
So the title is
they will
legit
not.
Title Zero. Contenders.
Totally hear the question and understand the question. And I'm with Rob here. I don't believe that they're legit contenders. And the reason why, as you mentioned several things, but I'm just going to focus on what they don't have and what they have. Klay Thompson is going to miss pretty much the entire season. That's 21 points a game that is no longer. Kevin Durant is gone. That's 26, 27 points a game that is gone. You then bring in a D'Angelo Russell. That's 21 points a game that you do add. But you haven't seen how that is going to mesh with Steph. They play the same position. Their style of play is similar. Ball in hand, dribble, shoot, three-point shots. It's similar. We haven't seen how that's going to mesh. Now you're asking a Draymond Green, can you elevate your scoring? Because we're going to need you to score more now. We're going to need you to be more effective on the offensive side versus just defensively in all the facets that he does so well, rebounding, assists, get all of that. Still going to be great. And how is your rookie that you just acquired, Jordan Poole, how is he going to fit in? Is he going to be able to fill in those shoes that Klay Thompson has now left open because he's still on the roster, but he's injured? We need somebody that can become another additional splash brother. Can Jordan Poole be that guy? And then Alphonso McKenzie, good young player that got some experience, gained some experience because of those injuries that you alluded to and that you mentioned. But can he become the two-way player that Klay Thompson was and is for them? These are all the questions that they have to answer, and they are big questions to answer. I don't question whether or not they'll be a good team, but a legit contender, when you're looking at the West and what the West already is and what LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers couldn't do to penetrate the playoff push, like... You, it's not going to be as easy as you're making it seem for the Golden State Warriors.
All right, gentlemen. All right, this is a good start. Good history, good numbers. I'm going to break it down for you as three-pronged attack here. This is pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get started here with the theme of reinvention. Okay, you guys know it well. Drake was like a teen actor in this Degrassi show. You know, like teeny bopper stuff. He's now one of the greatest rappers going today. Okay, he's reinvented himself. The Golden State Warriors were a great defensive team with Iguodala, Kevin Durant, protecting the rim, changing on the perimeter. They're going to reinvent themselves as an offensive juggernaut. They're going to trot out, when Klay comes back, Klay, Russell, and Curry, a three-headed monster from the perimeter. D'Angelo Russell was an all-star last year. He's a good player. He's going to have to step up his game, but it's going to be easier when you're playing with the Splash Brothers. So that's one reinvention. Number two, let's look at the actual contenders, shall we? Okay, we got the Clippers, no doubt about it, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. We've got the Lakers, LeBron, Anthony Davis. And who do we have after that? The Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis and I don't know who their number two is, Chris Middleton? Guy averaged 13 a game against the Raptors when they choked after being up 2-0. Hold up. Milwaukee, maybe the third best team in the league. They're good. They're going to win another 60 games. After that, I go down the list. I got what, the Sixers? Can Joel Embiid stay healthy? Ben Simmons, is he going to make a jump shot? That's four contenders. I can't find a fifth, and my fifth is the Golden State Warriors. That qualifies them as legit contenders. And finally, by the way, don't even try to mention the Houston Rockets or the Utah Jazz. They're not there yet. And finally, this is going to be a Warriors team that will struggle in the regular season without Klay Thompson. That's undeniable. They will get off to a slow start. Klay will come back by February. Draymond will get in shape, as he always does. They will be a dangerous contender come playoff time. Any rebuttals?
I can't buy any of that because the other thing that you're negating is just the Western Conference by itself. You're naming
it. What? You're going to give me Denver Nuggets?
You got to come with the Denver Nuggets. That was one game away from the Western Conference.
Oh, the team
finals.
That gagged at home in game seven against Portland, which can't win a game against the Durantless Warriors.
Portland,
get out of here with
Portland
the Denver Nuggets.
Portland is another
just
good
take
team.
Take it out.
Houston's there.
Houston?
All these other teams. And you know what? I'm going to give you two teams, right? The Lakers were a non-playoff team. You put them in
there. They're in there.
Okay. There are two other teams on the outside that aren't going to be pushovers either. Pelicans are going to be much better. I'm just saying in the Western Conference.
Wait, we went from legit title contenders to the Pelicans?
But my point is, it's not the cakewalk that they used to have in the Western Conference. It's not going to happen.
That's true.
They're going to struggle.
I just said that.
In the Western Conference. They're not a legitimate. They will not be in the Final Four of trying to make it. They won't be in the Final Four of the Western Conference. They're going to be below that. And they will have to go on the road. They're not going to
They're
be
going to have
team.
To go on the road to mighty Denver.
It's really simple.
You can't win in Denver.
I'll wrap it up with
Portland that. Just did in game seven.
We can look at their struggles against the Los Angeles Clippers last year with the roster that they had last year.
Clippers had no stars.
They had no stars. And now you add to what you had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you really believe that the Warriors are a legit contender?
Title was legit. No question the Lakers and Clippers are ahead of the Warriors. No doubt about it. I will see what happens in a seven-game series when everybody's healthy, it deep in the playoffs. I give the Warriors a shot for sure. I don't think they're going to win, but they're a legit title contender. And, hey, maybe they get lucky the way the Raptors did and somebody gets injured the way half the Warriors roster went down. Things happen.
Did you pick Milwaukee or the Raptors?
I picked Milwaukee.
Okay.
And you can't count on Klay coming off a knee injury like that.
Please.
Klay's already running if you're following on
that's
Instagram.
I totally understand that and know that. But it's an ACL. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
No mercy. Tom Brady will play this season at the age of 42 and has been pushing the narrative the past two seasons that he wants to play until he's 45. Questions began to arise when he put his Boston area home on the market over the weekend. When asked yesterday if he plans to play until he's 45, Brady said he certainly hopes so, and that the hardest part is preparing his body for each season. Eric Mangini, thankfully back with us. Do you believe that Tom Brady will play until he's 45?
Yeah, I have no reason not to believe Tom Brady will play until he's 45.
Called Father Time.
But it was called Father Time at 38. It was called Father Time at 35. It was called Father Time at 40. It was called Father Time last year. And one of the things that he's consistently done is defy Father Time. I think the issue in New England, it will be more a function of, do you get into a Jimmy Garoppolo type situation again? Mm-hmm. So let's say the new kid that drafted Jarrett Stidham had a pretty good preseason opener, very similar to Garoppolo's opener. Two or three years down the road, he's an emerging guy. It comes to the point where they got to keep Tom another year or they got to move on. I think that's where it's going to be really interesting. In terms of his ability to consistently perform at a high level, that's there. He's shown his ability to do that. And he also has the advantage of having Josh McDaniels there and Dante Scarnecchia there and continuity in the coaching staff. Another thing that I could see moving him out of there is if that changed dramatically. Let's say Josh goes and gets a head coaching job and Dante retires again. You know, playing with a totally different staff could also be a consideration for Tom.
Can I give you my glasses? Because obviously you haven't been watching Tom Brady, okay? And all of his numbers are down, and I'm going to put my glasses on. Last year, passer rating, down. Touchdown passes, down. Interceptions, up. Yards per game, down. Completion percentage, down. Yards per pass, down. Did you watch him in the Super Bowl? Did you watch how awful Tom Brady was?
Can we just talk about your hashtag?
What?
Inconsistent Rob Parker.
No, I'm just...
Hashtag inconsistent Rob Parker. So the last segment we did, you didn't want to hear about Dak's stats, right? Dak's stats didn't matter in relationship to Carson Wentz. It was, do you watch the tape? Who would you want? Who would you take? And then inconsistent Rob Parker pivots to, this is down, the stats are down, this
Get him,
is down.
Bro,
no! But wait a minute.
You know what's up? Another Super Bowl banner is up in New England.
But it had nothing to do with
take
Tom
that
Brady.
Stat
Tom
and put Brady, it right here in your pocket.
It had nothing
square.
To do with Tom Brady. That defense and Sony Michel won that Super Bowl. And here's the other thing. Did you watch him? He had no touchdowns. He had a pick. He had a fumble. Tom Brady was awful in that Super Bowl. They scored 13 points. And if you watch Tom Brady, he also threw the game-losing pick in the AFC Championship game. That was an offsides call.
He probably realized the guy jumped off sides and took a chance.
And threw it right to him? Is that what it was?
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to throw it to his breadbasket.
Just to make it a little
more interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I believe
better is a little something to think about.
You know it, Eric. I mean, I get it. Everybody wants to believe Tom Brady is going to defy the odds.
Rob,
the signs are there. We saw it last year.
Can I give
you one of his words? His last year, against Pittsburgh, he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. You remember that play? He didn't even have enough arm strength. He threw a pick because he couldn't get the ball out of play. There's a radio clip from the Patriots radio network that said it was Tom Brady's worst pass in 10 years. I've seen the signs. There were signs
some guy
last
on the radio
year.
Network?
There were signs
Has
last
the radio
year.
Network guy even watched the last 10 years?
He was
years
there.
Worth of
I'm
game?
Talking about a Patriots I mean, this radio guy, network.
Okay, so some guy on the radio says it's the worst pass in 10 years?
He covers the Patriots.
Of course he does. I'm sure in between is the hot dog that he had.
Why aren't you not watching?
The bathroom break that he took. Brady, like,
have you watched Tom Brady last year? You think he's as good as he was 3 years ago?
I mean, look.
I'm asking you.
Is he as good as the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL that's had some of the greatest seasons in the history of the NFL? No, he may have been down at different points, but he was good enough to win the Super Bowl again. How many points did the Rams score?
That had nothing to do with Tom Brady. They scored three.
Okay, and how many did the Patriots score?
13.
There you go.
Well, Peyton Manning put up the same numbers that Tom Brady put up, and he was showing the door after they won a Super Bowl.
Rob. The door where?
The door out of the organization.
Which organization?
Who?
What was he showing the door out of?
Up Denver.
Okay, well, he also had neck problems. He was getting ready to retire.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
So, Eric, so you think he will play till he's 45 or could, but the Patriots' new contract with him basically is kind of a one-year deal here.
Yeah, they're all going to be year-to-year, and I think that makes a lot of sense. They can't franchise him. So each season, Tom has the right to renegotiate his deal as well, and that gives both the club and the player a chance to get to a number that works without being bound by the contract. And some of that number that works is going to be what works for the organization, the players they're trying to bring around them. And some of it is how do you pay Tom so that it's reasonable and not ridiculous compared to some of these young guys that are getting paid a lot of money that haven't done anything.
You want to look at the contract and all of that, and you want to say that he's not going to play because he's declining, but all of these things are reasons why he will continue to play. Number one, they don't have that Jimmy Garoppolo sitting behind Tom that is going to usher him out. They haven't unveiled that. We don't know what they have behind him. Number two, the contract that he has signed, as you just mentioned, favors both parties. So now all of a sudden, we have the option next year to make sure that we do get the deal. And we understand, Tom understands what we're trying to produce and what we're trying to maintain, which is value in every position. So, Tom, we're not going to pay you top dollar at quarterback position. He understands that.
He shouldn't get top dollar. He's already getting his pension and Social Security.
But for him, let me get to the performance. You keep mentioning how he's declining. His decline, although it may be a decline, is still so good that they continue to hang banners, as Coach just mentioned.
But not because of Tom.
How is it not because of Tom? He's the reason why they have the success. He's the brains of the operation. When you start a franchise, what's the most valuable, most important position in all of football. Do you know that position?
Quarterback.
A quarterback. So when you look at the New England Patriots, do they have someone that they can't count on that is so declined, his physical ability is so poor that they can't win anymore? Do they have that guy? No, they have a guy that can still get it done. And the reason why he's been able to defy all these odds of Father Time, will Father Time catch up with him? Yes. But he is doing everything in his power physically in the offseason, during the season, to maintain supreme shape for his physical body and age so that he can still perform. And the one thing that gets sharper as you get older is that brain. And what he's seen...
For some people.
No. Obviously, because I've been schooling you guys here, I've been covering sports for 33 years. And my only thing is, I think it's just so easy. I call it lazy NFL analyst, being an NFL analyst, to pick Tom Brady every year. You've been picked Tom... Tom Brady went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl, and every year everybody picked the Patriots. Nobody remembers that Tom Brady or that situation, those 10 years where they didn't win. And nobody remembers or acts like Tom Brady wasn't awful in the Super Bowl. That's what he was. He was awful, and yet they won, and everybody throws up. They couldn't even fudge and give him the MVP in the Super Bowl. That's how bad he was. They had to go. They couldn't do it because he was bad. Philadelphia game, he also gave up. He coughed up the football with 2.5 minutes to go. Do you remember that?
I know you've been covering sports for 33 years.
33.
And covering your eyes for 34. but when you look at Tom Brady, last year the narrative going into the season was they lost their left tackle. They didn't have any wide receivers. There was transition. And every year that's the story in New England. But they don't talk about, we need to go get Tom more weapons. We need to get this for Tom. We need to get that for Tom. Like we do for 1,000 quarterbacks on this show. How are we going to support this guy? How are we going to support that guy? That's the difference between Tom and everybody else, is he is a force multiplier, and he's willing to be coached at 42 years old, which is a great example.
Tom will not play at age 45. Awesome. This is his last season.
Way to go on a limb.
Eric Mangini, he just made a lot of new friends because he just destroyed Rob.
What are you talking about?
Ugly. I felt bad for
Inconsistent you. Inconsistent
Rob Parker. Inconsistent Rob Parker. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Eric. We'll see you tomorrow. More hype for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Is it overkill at this point? That's next. No mercy. You may have heard already, WWE SmackDown is coming to Fox this fall, and WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin wasted no time in getting his sports takes out there. After spending time with Baker Mayfield, Stone Cold called him a natural-born leader, and exactly what the Browns need. Greg, more Baker Mayfield hype. I mean, I'm shocked. Are you buying it?
I'm buying all of it.
Ooh.
I'm a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. I love Stone Cold. And he is exactly right. Baker Mayfield is a born leader. When you look at his track record, coming on as a walk-on and then elevating to where he was in his collegiate career, something special, Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, the accolades are all there. And when you look at where he is currently now, drafted number one overall last season to the Cleveland Browns, and now he's developed this personnel around him with an Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Njoku, all these talented guys, Kareem Hunt, all these guys around him. It is special to watch his demeanor, his poise, his demand, and his of respect from these guys, understanding that I am in charge. He is not rattled. He doesn't care who the big name guys are. He is not at all moved by the fact that he has one of the what you guys deem to call divas of the National Football League. He's not moved by it at all because he knows who he is. He's so supremely confident, not only in his own ability to perform and produce, but in his ability to make sure that everybody is going to be on the same page. I got this all under control. Coach Kitchens knows that, you know what? You don't even have to worry about this. Why? Because I'm out here with these guys, and I have the biggest ego of them all that I understand. I know how to suppress it at times, and I know how to bring it out and flash it in front of my guys in the huddle so that they know I run the show. I love it. That's what you want at the quarterback position. He is everything that you want, and he is everything that the Cleveland Browns have, which is why they're going to be successful.
Natural-born leader.
Can't wait. I guess he must have picked up the tab or something for Stone Cold. So, you know, this Baker Mayfield overblown, premature celebration of him is just way ridiculous from this standpoint. Even last year, when they finally won 7 games and he was ordained as the savior of Cleveland football and whatnot, can I give you some of the, when they played good teams last year?
Well, let me give you those numbers.
Let me give you that. 6 games against teams that finished at or above 500, 1-5, 59% completion, 10 touchdowns, 11 picks, 77 quarterback rating. He wasn't that good.
He's a rookie quarterback.
No, I understand that.
I was going to add
it doesn't
that.
Matter that. You know what? There are guys who are rookies who excel, okay, and guys who play well.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, let me see when, okay, now the bright light's on. Everybody's saying Cleveland's going to the Super Bowl. Everybody expecting, all right, Baker Mayfield and the Browns to come to town. No one's going to overlook you. I want to see all of this. And I want to see that when things don't go right and all those personalities and players that he has and OBJ isn't getting the football like he wants it and all that, I want to see how that plays out. Would a rookie coach in Kitchens... There's a lot of stuff that tells me this could blow up on them.
I would agree with a lot of that, but the question is he a natural-born leader? Do you agree with that? I don't know,
because whenever the leadership thing comes up, it's still based on talent, because you could be a leader until it comes push to shove, and if you don't perform, guys can't follow you. You know this, Greg.
So if you don't perform, people can't follow that.
I don't care what rah-rah speech you give in the locker room.
So this Baker Mayfield is one of the guys that really checks every box when it comes to leadership, availability, talent, all of those, accuracy, everything that we want to talk about, he checks every box.
So far, it's early.
I mean, we've only seen him in 1 year, and they went from winning one game the previous year.
They didn't beat anybody last year. I just gave it to you.
I'm glad you brought that back up, because when it comes to trying to win, learning and changing cultures, you have to develop and understand who you are first and foremost, and then learn how to become that, and then be that consistently from then on. So learning how to win starts with losing those close games. When I was with the Green Bay Packers early on, when Aaron Rodgers took over, we lost so many close games, and we were so close, and we could have been so special, but we weren't, because we didn't know how to win. We hadn't learned the art of closing and finishing in the fourth quarter. What these young guys are going to do is learn that even if they don't become all of what we expect them to be this year, and I'm not saying that they can't, because they have an opportunity to do that, they still will have the trajectory going in the right direction with Baker Mayfield, because he understands what it takes to win games.
This is a tough one. It feels like it's a fence-sitting question.
Yes,
I would agree. He is an alpha male. He walked into the room. Baker Mayfield has an aura, a persona about him as a guy who's been an underdog his whole career, right? Walking on at Texas Tech, transferring to Oklahoma, winning the job, winning the Heisman Trophy. But to Rob's point, like, I still need to see way more. Last year, he had a coach who was playing with house money, Freddie Kitchens. You know that guy was a running backs coach last year? Now he's got to command the locker room. And what's going to happen if they don't start?
If they start 3-0, if they start
0-3, there's
going to
be like, whoa.
That's where I will be able to see, Greg, the leadership you're talking about. If they're 0-3 after they've had all this bravado and party and confetti and everybody's all excited about it, the potential, you would agree, is certainly on paper.
I was concerned there for a minute, because
I see the.
I thought you were of the notion, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger, that leadership equates to wins. That's not what I'm saying. I'm glad I found that out with you just saying that. Because if they do start off poorly, If it doesn't mean that Baker Mayfield is not a great leader. How he responds in that adversity will show us even how great of a leader he really is. What showed me he was a great leader, remember 2 years ago, they went to the Horseshoe. They played Ohio State. They win that game. He runs out on the field. Boom, he plants the flag.
That's a lead or is that tacky?
No.
I thought it was cool.
It's whatever you want to call it. But he understood what it did for his teammates to do that. Most quarterbacks aren't going to do that. But you want to win over a locker room. You want everybody to buy into who you are and what you're trying to get done. Sometimes you got to make the stands like that. Sometimes you got to do things that quarterbacks typically aren't supposed to do. That's Baker Mayfield. That's why this will work in Cleveland with the Odell on one side, a Jarvis Landry on the next. Because they have the guy under the helm that can manage them both.
They better protect him, because that offensive line has some questions.
Oh, he'll protect himself. Guys, he knows how to play. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.